you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's up, fellow addicts? This is Shannon, the producer of the SDR Show. On today's episode, Ralph Sutton and guest co-host James L. Mattern are joined by Brian Posehn. You will absolutely know his face. I'm sure you know his name. He's a comedian, an actor in films and television, podcaster, writer. This guy does everything. He also just released his first music-only album called Grandpa Metal, where he collaborates with people like Weird Al, Corey Taylor of Slipknot, so many more. He is a really, really funny and talented guest. Don't forget, we do the show live every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. You can watch there for free, but if you want the shows 5 days sooner, want to hang out in the live chat, get the HD stream, and access to every episode we've ever done, use promo code SDR. You'll get a free 2-week trial plus all the perks that I mentioned and access to every other show on Gas Digital. So right now, here it is, the Brian Posehn episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
This is a hit show. Show me a tit show.
Please, someone fuck the
host. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know.
The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me now as one of my most consistent co-hosts who now has a better microphone and his bed made again, James Mattern. How are you, buddy?
Buddy, what a treat.
You know, I really do. I mean, we said it last time you were on. I feel like Rob Schneider changed your life by having you make your bed all the time now, and I really like that.
I'm making my bed. I'm doing push-ups. I'm listening to more Richard Pryor. Everything that was in his... I'm in. I'm a new person. Maybe he's my real dad. I don't know if he's old enough, but goddamn, that would be fun.
Who knew that he would have so much of an effect on you? Shannon with us as always in the Gas Digital Studios today. Thank you very much for doing the Shannoons.
Yeah, it's fun from here.
Yeah, it's a little. You look more professional. And now, I doubt you're going to remember me, dude. We were on the Motorhead cruise together. I was the MC, and I think even a Shiprock maybe,
was,
too.
Yeah. Well, I was there.
Yeah.
Was last time, yeah.
Oh, the Shiprock.
I know who you are, man.
Oh, okay. Look at that. Who knew? I don't like saying maybe you're going to know me. Like, I'd rather that it's more embarrassing if you don't. It is Brian Posehn. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you. It makes me feel, by the way, you just brightened my day that you actually know who I was.
That's awesome. The little things.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, though, in all seriousness, not to dwell on it, but did you know who I was when you saw my face right now or when you got the email about the show? Like, how did you, what
your name, name and the show.
All right. Well, that really makes me happy. You just made my day. That's it. We can end the interview right now. I'm just done. That's great.
Cool. All right, man. See you later. That was easy.
You're pulling a Sebastian Bach on us. That'd be fucking great. All right. So, of course, we all know you, actor, comedian, musician, podcaster. We're going to get into the musician part for the bulk of this. But I just want to talk about a few things off the top of the show. I watched a little bit of that new TV show you're doing, the True TV series, Top Secret Videos, right? And I love, I always fuck up his name, Rob Funches? Funkus?
It's Ron Funches.
Ron Funkus.
Funches.
Funches. I can't get that right.
Yeah, yeah. Like bunches.
That. Yeah, I really do love that guy. And to watch you two seem to have, it seems like, from what I'm missing, I could be wrong, you're just enjoying each other's company on a couch. That's really what's happening.
That's my favorite part of the show. Yeah, we do these wraparounds that are written, but my favorite part of the show is just he and I riffing. And, you know, our characters are named Brian and Ron, so it's just real easy. We're kind of ourselves, or I mean, we are, and, you know, we're a little high, and we're just laughing at each other's stuff, and it's been a total blast, really.
That's, and the concept is like you work for the NSA or something, right? The loose concept just to get that.
Totally loose, yeah. And I mean, we're basically just looking at videos. It's another video show, but what I feel like you've already put a nail on what makes ours different. At least, you know, we know each other, and then there's this familiarity that's already there, and right. It's just I don't know. I feel like he and I get along really well together.
You know? And what feels different, and I could be wrong, because what the fuck do I know? I only watched a little bit of one of them. It doesn't seem as scripted as the, like you watch fucking Ridiculousness and you know like whose line was fed to who, and it doesn't feel organic. It feels like this, you know, is organic.
Exactly. Well, I think it comes from being comics. You know, like we've done this kind of stuff before, like whenever we would do At Midnight, you know, they write jokes for you, that kind of place. But then also the best stuff is the stuff that you just pull off, you know, out of your ass. That's my favorite stuff, is the jokes that I didn't even have prepared, but I'm just sitting there and I go, oh, I got it. You know, and then that's the one that breaks everybody, you know, it's the improvised stuff, the riff stuff. Yeah.
When did you actually film it? Being that we're in this crazy time, you know, was it sitting there for a while or what?
No, we did it like 2 months ago, but we did it totally safe in LA, like where we were tested every day, tested a week before the show. You know, they came to my house, and it was one of the first things I had done. I did that show. God, I can never remember the name of it on Netflix. Where they, where you make a shitty cake. Oh, nailed it. I did that show. Like, right. That was the first thing I did during COVID. And that was super safe too, where they, you know, they come and get you and you're, you know, they keep you. It was kind of weird. It felt like you were actually sick.
I had to do that. I did a couple months ago. I was on a show called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy 100 years ago, and they did a reunion, and I had to get tested like 5 times just to film for one day. It was really weird. It made me feel really
like they kept me, you know, I had to be in my dressing room. I couldn't go in anybody else's room, and you're 6 feet apart. And then the makeup lady had a shield on, and it's just crazy. It's like stuff you're not used to. And
you know what's funny? I don't think I've ever asked this, but we have there's one of the guys that co-hosts the show with me once in a while is a COVID denier for the most part, right? And I'm wondering, I haven't asked this publicly to any comedians on the show yet, but do you have any friends in your circle of comics that is one of these guys that thinks, you know, the vaccine isn't real, the virus isn't real? Does that exist in your world, Brian?
not my close friends. Some of my old friends, guys I don't talk to anymore that I see on Facebook. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
You relegated them. They're out.
What about you, James? James, anyone in your circle?
The person you're talking about, I think, is in my circle. Yeah.
Are you throwing Big J under the bus? No.
Not Jay.
Okay, good.
Jay takes it extremely seriously, probably too seriously. Jay's a hypochondriac. He thinks he's got everything, you know. But
that's kind of how I am. I've embraced this, you know. Right. Like I hate fist bumping. I hate hugging. I hate high fiving. I had a 10-minute bit in my act before COVID about how much I fucking hate high fiving and hugging. And so this is perfect for me. This has been
it's made for you.
A lot of comics are hypochondriacs. I think a lot of us were prepared for this. While everyone else now. I've been telling people it's kind of like the Courtney Love lyric. It's now you'll ache like I ache. Like it's just like now you know how I've been living all these years. Yeah. When you're on the subway and you do this on the pole, that's what it's about.
And my brother's been that way. My brother never would handshake anybody. Always like a fist bump or just like a hello. You know. So for certain people, I don't think he doesn't.
I don't even like the fist bump.
Yeah,
like, that's too much.
That's funny. That's crazy.
We should bow like Japan, dude. We're wearing masks. I watch Japanese wrestling, dog. Everyone bows and wears masks. Let's go.
Yeah.
What's wrong with any of that?
I'm fine with it, really, honestly. So now the album is called Metal Grandpa, released earlier this year, right?
Grandpa Metal.
I'm so sorry. I'm stupid.
That's right.
I wrote it down wrong. what I know is that it took about 6 years for it to come out, right?
The whole thing, man, like, so yeah, it took forever to make, and then it came out right before COVID, so I couldn't tour it, couldn't do anything. The timing was terrible, but I'm still really proud of it. The reason it took 6 years is it's me, myself, Scott Ian, worked on it from Anthrax, Brendan Small from Metalocalypse, and it was just, you know, we're all busy, and then we all have other stuff on our plate, and it just took forever, but once the record label, like 2 years ago, was like, hey, man, are we ever going to see this thing? And I'm like, yeah, let me, you know, we had like 8 songs at that point. So we got our shit together, you know, finished the record. And I think it's super funny, and
it's definitely
more importantly, really super metal. I mean, it's got.
I listened to a bunch of tracks of it, and I was not only. I mean, the pedigree of people that you get to play on this record is batshit crazy, but they're actually good songs. Like they feel like a nod to like Stormtroopers of Death, like old school metal, and funny, you know. And it feels like a heavier Steel Panther. If it's a fair way to assess it.
That is totally what I was going for. And even like there's one song called My Big Fat Rock where I was just trying to be dumber than Steel Panther. I told the guy I wrote it with, and I love Steel Panther. I'm friends with those guys. So I was like, let's do them, but stupider. Let's do something that they would go, nah. Like,
and even Michael Starr is on a track, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's my favorite cover on the record. I needed a couple of covers on there. So, and being that there are a couple of covers on there, how did you decide which covers and why? Does that make any sense? Like,
yeah, well, the way I looked at it, I've done metal covers before. We did The Gambler on one of my stand-up records.
With Jamie Josta.
Yeah.
He's on my network here. He does these.
Oh, I love Jamie. And the way I look at covers, you know, especially as a metalhead, I think any song is better. And I even have a song or a DJ show now on Gimme Metal where I play a lot of covers because I just love when people take traditional songs that aren't from our genre and then make them metal. And so that's what I was going for. It's like, let's take these two earworm songs, The Fox, you know, which was famous 6 years ago or whatever. And then A-ha's Take on Me, which has haunted me my entire adult life. You know, let's take that song and make it good.
Right.
Let's make it metal. Let's put, you know, killer vocals, crazy guitars, insane drumming. You know, that's what I wanted to do. And then I barely sang on them. You know, it's me just calling in favors and going, hey, can you do this? And then doing my stupid, you know, whatever they call that, that death metal kind of growl, that
the cookie monster
thing. Yeah.
The Fox one, did you record that 6 years ago when you started and it was a big song at the time? And that's why it's still on the record.
That's exactly why we recorded it not quite that long ago, but it was already kind of dead when we did it. Like we did it like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like it had been out a couple of years.
Okay. That's funny. That's a very funny one. And then, it's the other one is on there is the A-ha. And I think this shows you also how long ago you recorded this is Jill from Huntress is on there. Is that the last recorded stuff she did?
I think it is. Yeah. Wow. Cause they didn't have a Huntress record in the pipe. And I know she was working on another project with somebody with Roadrunner Records, but hadn't started it yet. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, and I could be wrong if you were there cause I get, you know, I did all the Shiprocks and both Motorboats. But I did a motorboating contest on Motorboat with Jill. And I feel like you were on stage with us, too. I could be wrong.
I wasn't on stage for that one. I did. Oh, wait.
I feel
yes,
like
I were. Was.
I feel like you were. Yeah,
yeah, you're right. I was. Yeah. I was really also high on Motorboat most of that.
The Motorhead Cruise, to me, by the way, was one of those. Were you on both?
No, I did the last one.
Was that the one with the Pantera reunion on the boat? I forget.
No,
that was the first one. That was the first one was when they got up and did like a bunch of Pantera songs. That was fucking amazing. But just a great experience, both of them. And you were on the last Shiprock that I did, I think, because Shannon was on with me. And we did the stupid the belly flop contest together. Am I right? I think that's
yes, exactly. Yeah,
look, it's all coming full circle now, James. Look at that. We have a history.
Buddy, I wish I could go in a time machine and go to these things. Are you kidding me? On a boat?
And are you ever going to want to go on a boat ever again? I don't think
I'm going to go. Like right now, they're planning the next one. I don't. It would take a lot to get me to go back on a boat. I think it's for, which is hard to believe, it's like March or April. And I'm like, how the fuck are you even planning that right now?
Crazy. They'd have to give me the Dave Mustaine suite for me to get on the boat again. And then I wouldn't touch anybody. And I would just be in the Dave Mustaine suite, the whole boat, and not even see anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that would do exactly.
I might not even perform.
Yeah, do exactly what Dave Mustaine did. That worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Nice.
James, you were saying something?
Well, no, I was, if I got offered it, I would then hang out with our mutual friend who's a denier for like 3 days. And then I'd be like, all right, man, you, maybe, you convinced me, dude.
He convinced you? Yeah, maybe. Is it? I watched the Grandpa Metal video. Is that truly the inspiration for it? Was Scott Ian being an old fuddy-duddy metal dude?
Yeah, I've called him Grandpa Metal for a couple of years. He's one of my closest friends. And a lot of old dudes, you know, that are old metalheads stop listening to new music. And, you know, that's not a new thing. So, I mean, I check out bands, but he hasn't liked anything new since like 1993. And so I bust his balls over it all the time, you know.
It is a weird thing because a lot of musicians, they fall into two categories. Either they're still inspired by new music all the time and constantly looking, like I give a great example is Rob Halford. Halford wants to find that next group or that next band that he just loves. But other guys like Scott, they stopped in the 90s and they don't want to listen to anything past that.
And some of them, like Eddie Van Halen, was notorious for not even listening to anybody. He didn't listen to any music. Like, right. He's like, I make this. Why do I have to listen to anybody else do it?
I guess
that's, you know, poorly.
Yeah, it's really wild. It's, you know, you, I mean, I watched you many times. You're still constantly, you're really into new metal, like real metal.
Yeah, not NU, but no, like, no, new death metal, new, yeah. I love stoner metal, you know, bands like Red Fang, that kind of thing, Torch, and but I also love just brutal thrash and death.
When you were in high school, did you shit on guys like me that liked Guns N' Roses and Rat and, you know, stuff like that, or?
No, I was such a nerd that, like, I just liked what I liked. I didn't have many rules about metal, and because I had two other friends that were metalheads that weren't the kind of guys, weren't the more metal than you guys. You know, there's these metalheads that I've talked about before, and it's one of my songs, More Metal Than You. It's the guys that judge people and, like, are immediately, you know, I knew guys like that. Like, there was a dude in my neighborhood who hated Metallica's second record. Like, how do you, like... Like, they've only been a band for 4 years, and he's already like, nah, they're done. And I'm like, who does that?
All it takes is one ballad.
Yeah.
One incredibly heavy ballad.
They didn't have any ballads. It wasn't even that. For him, it was like acoustic guitar. Like, I hate that beginning, man, that beginning with the acoustic guitar. And it's like, stupid, you know, and he used the 80s stuff, like, you know, the G word. But you know, whatever. But, yeah, like,
Goofy, that's the G word.
Gay, no, he'd go gay. You know that stuff's gay. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Just wanted to get you to say it. That's all.
Yeah, thanks. There we go.
It's funny that when I was in high school, there were like the two bands I felt that crossed barriers from the very metal to the me, like which people would call the poser metal, would be Guns N' Roses and Metallica were the two I felt. That there were people on both sides of the fence, and the other side would be the obituaries and the very heavy bands. And then I always, like, while my wheelhouse was the more mainstreamy rock. I don't know how old you are, but we're probably about the same age.
Yeah, I think you're slightly younger just by the Guns N' Roses, because I was already out of high school by the time they came out. And, like, yeah, they're mainstream, but I never hated on them. And then I still don't. Like, I love, like, I, on my show, I'll play Testament, but I'll also play Rat right next to it. You know, I like good guitar playing. I like good songs. That's what I like about metal, you know.
Yeah. There's so many great metal people on this record. Was there anyone you went after that you couldn't get? And was there anyone that was a pain in the ass to get?
Those are both good questions. couldn't get just out of timing wise, John 5 wound up being not available. But and we had talked to him for a little bit from Manson and Rob Zombie, and to actually play on a song on Monster Mosh where I made it to sound like a zombie song, he couldn't get it. We couldn't hook up. And then the other one that was disappointing was Kirk Hammett. From Metallica, but I'll bug him on the next record. And then, nobody dissed me. Nobody went, well, it's actually, I tried to get a couple of guest rappers and that didn't go as well. I keep forgetting because the process, you know, it was a 6-year process. So at one point I reached out to both Method Man and Red Man. I had worked with them. Mm-hmm. And I got a text back from Red Man. Like, I go, hey, man, it's me, Posehn. And he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? And then I lend this long text like, hey, I'm doing this, you know, but really – I was dorky in the text, like, hey, buddy, I'm doing, you know, I'm doing this back record, and I would really like for you to be the guest rapper on it. And he didn't even respond. Like, he's a dude I know. Just totally ghosted me.
Oh, that's fucked up, because if that was your first text, it wouldn't be as bad. But he acknowledged you.
He's like, hey, what's up? Like, good to hear from you. And then, oh, no, it's not good to hear from you because you want something.
That's fucking horrible. I love it. That would, by the way, that would sit with Big J for 5 years if it happened to him.
Well, the point of the whole bit was I was calling him to get me to say no. Like, all I wanted was a guest rapper to say no to me, but to record it. Like, so I was saying, hey, will you get on the phone and tell me to fuck off? He wouldn't even get on the phone and tell me to fuck. He just told me to fuck off by never responding.
Really love that. the Weird Al call was obviously scripted, but was there any truth behind that? Like, did you not know that, or that was just fun?
No, that was all just me goofing. Like, Weird Al has like the best sense of humor about himself, and I just love the idea of somebody not knowing like which songs of his are parodies and which ones are originals that you would follow him. And the fact that somebody would go, hey, that Gump song is awesome. I can't believe, you know, he's like, it's a parody. Like, that was to me where the humor came from.
Well, we never know what people know about mainstream music. So I thought maybe it was possible. Another quick question is, I understand it's just odd. I watched a video where you just shit on Five Finger Death Punch. Do you hate them that much? I think they're not a band, especially the first record was great.
Wait, where did I shit on them?
I saw a video interview where you shit on them. You said, I'm not going to not talk about any bands that I don't like. And then you said, well, like, for instance, I really don't like Five Finger Death Punch. And you called it that. Scott Ian has a name for them. What was it?
Five Finger Fruit Punch.
Fruit Punch, yeah. Five Finger Fruit Punch.
So you shit on them.
But I mean, that first record was a good record.
I don't know.
That's the most political answer I've heard in a long time. I love that.
I don't even know. I don't even know what their first one is and what their new one is. I hear it. It makes me cringe. It's just not. It's not for me. It's not the kind of metal I like. Metal.
I don't look at it as metal. I would say.
Okay. Well, that's why. Yeah. So it's like strip club metal, which has its place, but isn't something I want to put on my headphones.
Fair enough. What about, I'm going to throw out some bands. You ready?
Yeah.
Monster Magnet.
Oh, yeah, that first record was great.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I haven't listened to them much, but it was since then. But they're respected.
Falling in Reverse.
Couldn't even tell you.
Oh, okay, that's too bad. That's interesting. I'm trying to think of some others that like, obviously,
are they like...
They're more
they're like millennial metal.
Yeah, they're like, right? Millennial new metal. Yeah. So even though you do listen for new NEW music, you don't ever move away too far from heavy metal.
Right.
Is there?
Yeah, I don't like a lot of metalcore, the stuff that they called, you know, like 20 years ago. Like, I don't like Atreyu or Avenged Sevenfold, and they're nice. I've met them, but you know, it just doesn't do anything for me. I can't help it.
I feel like I am such an equal opportunity metalist, because I can get into... I've always said that there's going to be something that speaks to me. Like, I love Slayer. I think they're amazing, but I also love Bon Jovi. I know it's crazy, but that's just who I am. I can't help it.
That, no, I'm close to that. I can't go with you on Jovi, but Runaway. I could go Runaway. The first record, when he was super Italian, when his name was actually John Bon Jovi.
Yeah,
wow. That's when I liked him.
Yeah, I remember
when he was just one dude in a booth. I think he even played those guitars himself on the first record.
I told the story on the show once before, but I used to run rock clubs in New York. I don't know. Where are you from originally, Ryan?
NorCal, the Bay Area.
So, like, the big rock clubs here in New York, and a guy called me to try and book his band, and his name was Tony Bon Jovi, and I realized, oh, shit, this is John's brother. I mean, man, that sucks. Like, he's calling me, and he's just like, oh, my God, that's fucking crazy. James, you lean forward again. I felt like you had a question.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Brian, what is the, like, the least metal stuff? Is there, like, do you have, like, a playlist that would shock us? Do you got, like, Henry Mancini? Like, what?
Oh, of me? Yeah. Well, oh, dude. Yeah, I'm way more new wave than anybody would be cool with. Well,
anybody would be cool with.
Like, a lot of metal dudes. Metal dudes would look through some of my CDs and just go, what are you even, you know, like, I went to see Morrissey 4 years ago on the day, you know, when Trump won last time, when he won.
Well, that's a fun time for him. I bet that was a highlight of his career right there.
It was a rough night, but no, I mean, I like that stuff. I like, The Cure, a lot, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and so I liked a lot of stuff I wasn't technically supposed to, but like I was saying earlier, I never was lived by all the metalhead rules. I always kind of did whatever I wanted. I'm the same way with comic books, because I'm a comic book nerd, but I never picked like Marvel or DC. I was always like,
I was a Marvel guy.
I like both. My first two guys were Batman and Spider-Man, so I'm like, I'm gonna like both of these guys, and you know, both companies.
I have some questions about that, but I just wanted to ask you, with that new wave music and all those CDs that aren't part of your norm, do you have them sectioned off and it's called Brian's Gay Music? Is that what it's?
No. It's all together. It's all, you know, I have a huge vinyl collection and it's all there. There's classic rock. There's Neil Young. There's The Who.
What about something totally, you know, not rock? Like, because even these bands, even Morrissey is under the grand umbrella of rock, you know? Is there anything completely in another genre, be it, I mean, rap or be it dance music?
Oh, I listen to a ton of hip hop.
Heavier? Yeah. Like even like who? Like who's an artist that you love?
Of hip hop? All of it. Well, the old stuff, again, I'm old. So it's Wu-Tang and Public Enemy, Far Side.
Great, yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
We were just talking about
those are like three different genres of hip hop, but yeah, I like it, you know, 80s through mid 90s, late 90s. That's the sweet spot for me.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a big hip hop. My fans hate when I bring this up, but I'll bring it up anyway. I was a break dancer and in a break dancing movie when I was 15.
What breakdancing movie?
Crush Groove. I was in Crush
Groove. Holy shit, really?
Yeah, but so Jay shits on me because you really can't see me in it. I was there filming the whole day, but the bulk of the movie got cut out. Go ahead, Shannon. Shit on me, Shannon.
I would just like to say this information has been disputed.
Yeah, it's been disputed. But here's the thing, Brian.
You can't even see him in the movie, Shannon?
I could bring on 10 people that were there with me that I'm still friends with. They're like, yeah, we filmed that whole day, but because most of that scene got cut out, and there is no HD version of it. I'm sure if we got a good HD version of it, you could find me in the crowd. But yeah, whatever. You know, I did bring proof that I was a breakdancer. We had videos of me breakdancing when I was 15. Did you not see that, Shannon? You stupid bitch.
Whoa.
Wow.
Pow, pow.
Pam, pow. Boom. Sorry.
No, that was a five-finger death punch. That wasn't three punch. That was straight up punch, dog. What up?
So you wrote a bunch of the Deadpools, right? You co-wrote a bunch of the Deadpools. Probably some of the best Marvel movies, those two, right? I mean, loved them both. Were you happy, at least for me, were you happy with the way it was portrayed on screen, or did you feel they deviated too much or what?
No, I love what they did, and I think Ryan Reynolds is perfect to play him. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't... Of the younger guys, he's the guy I would use. When I wrote him, I kind of had Kurt Russell's voice in my head. You know, Big Trouble in Little China is one of my favorite movies of all time. Same. So when I was writing Deadpool, I was kind of having him be a little bit of him and a little bit of Bruce Campbell, you know, from the Evil Dead movies. Kind of smart ass, you know, anti-hero, just going through this, right, you know, being a badass and kind of commenting on things. That was my favorite part of writing the book, was, you know, pulling from that.
Right. You know, what's funny is I was just on another podcast and they ask you to pick a movie that most people love, but you did not think was a good movie. And I picked Endgame by Marvel. I fucking hated the movie.
Oh, wow.
I just thought it was so many problems with that movie that everything else, so many of the other movies I thought were at least good, if not great. But I felt that they fucked up too many storylines that were not, that did not make sense. And the first 2 hours was just content. There was no action.
I feel so justified. Thank you, Ralph. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you.
It's not perfect. I like it because of the way it wraps everything up, but you're not wrong.
It was designed to close every storyline. It had nothing. They didn't care as much about the story itself. And things like, for just not to go off too much on a tangent, when Captain America makes lightning with Mjolnir, the lightning doesn't come from the fucking hammer. Thor makes the lightning. It makes no sense. Sorry. I'm off. Got a little angry. I'm all right. So now you talked about this. You were going to tour with.
I didn't know you were as nerdy. Like, I didn't know you would do the nerdy rants.
I am such a really bad. I collected. I had thousands of Marvel comic books that I collected since I was a kid. Right. And in New York City, you don't have room to put. So my brother and I, he had DC. I had Marvel. We put them in a storage locker that we were paying like $80 a month here in New York for. I don't know, 12 years, just sitting there for the day that it's going to be worth millions of dollars, right? And eventually, finally, we just said, look, let's not pay for anymore. Let's see what we can get for all of the comics. It's like $300.
Oh, man.
It was nothing. It was worth nothing. It's so crazy.
Did you not keep them nicely, or did you not have any key books? You just didn't have any key books.
We had four or five key books that were worth money. The rest was not worth the paper.
Gotcha.
I had Spider-Man number 8. That was worth money, you know.
Right.
I had a couple others. The first Daredevil in the red suit, you know. I think that was Daredevil five or six, whatever. But you know, just it was not worth the time and effort. That's for sure. Totally fucking ridiculous. So anyway, because there's such a great lineup in this album, if you could tour? Let's assume tomorrow COVID is gone and you could take this out on the road. What was the plan?
Well, the plan was it was just going to be Scott and I. Scott Ian and I were going to go out and do like what we did on the Megadeth cruise, where we both did like storytelling, mm-hmm. like a half hour. I'm still kind of doing stand up. I'm still doing some bits I would do on, you know, in a regular show. But and then I close because I'm funnier, and then I bring him out. and then we talk together, and then we play music together. That's what we kind of like to do. Once this is over, and maybe go out with somebody else who's known for spoken word, mm-hmm. like a Corey Taylor or, you know, who's somebody who's in the music business, but has also written books and can talk and, you know, like him or,
Henry Rollins.
Yeah. Rollins would be good. Or even Jericho. Jericho would be great.
Jericho would be great. I mean, that'd be great. It's funny to think, 'cause you are, as you said, you grew up such a metalhead and now all these dudes are in your phone. It's got to feel great. You know, like, I mean, I had it to a much lesser degree, but it's got to be funny that, you know, you are now buds with Anthrax, who I'm sure is a band that you were, you know, giddy over as a child.
Yeah. With them, I have a weird story where I actually, you know, I was going to see them live by myself, and I was getting baked with a buddy of mine who wasn't really a fan, but he knew who they were, and we were getting baked, and he goes, aren't you friends with them? And I go, no, I don't know them. And he goes, seems like you would be friends with them. And then I went to the show, and their roadie came up and said, hey, you want to meet them? And I go, yeah, man. And I go backstage, and it's Slayer and Anthrax in the dressing room. And I've been pals with Scott ever since. We just started talking about comedy, and I was super out of place. Like, I was freaking out, like, meeting Slayer and Anthrax. My legs are buckling. I'm like, don't shit your pants. Don't throw up on these dudes, you know, like, just be cool.
That's really
cool. And I was as cool as I could possibly be, but also trying not to pass out.
You hear the story from Frank Bellows. Like, I don't know, this guy walks in and just keeps mumbling to himself, don't shit my pants. I don't know what the fuck.
Exactly.
That's funny. I'd say of the guys in Anthrax, the only one I stayed that I'm friendly with is Frank Bellows. They're super nice guys. And I saw an interview where you said how it's true that you would think growing up, none of these guys have a sense of humor. They take this so seriously. But the truth is, most of them do love comedy. They're mostly easygoing guys.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I've heard my whole life is kind of true. Like, I've heard that, you know, comedians wish they were rock stars, and rock stars wish they were comedians. And when I first heard that, I was like, nah, that's not true. You know, I never wished I was a rock star. but I've met a ton, you know, now here I am, I've put out a record. So clearly I had this hidden thing, you know, but I have met a million, you know, musicians that, wish they, you know, could do, you know, they look at what I do and go, man, how do you even do that? And I'm like, well, how do you do what you do?
It's funny. Jay talks about this a lot, where it's, when you're a comedian, it's more self-deprecating and silliness. And when it's a rock star, you got to speak more genuine, like, you broke my heart, I love you. Like, you got to be more honest, when you're a comedian, your job is to shit on it.
Right. And or even project that you're, you know, that you're cool. You know, comedy is so much about, at least my comedy is about how uncool I am. And, you know, if I was a rock star, I couldn't do that unless I'm in Weezer.
That was, by the way, I mentioned Monster Magnet before. One of the first times I saw them, the dude was in ridiculous shape, foot up on the monitor, fucking song. And I was like, God damn it, there's nothing cooler than that. I don't know what it is. Like, that just fucking cool as shit. No other genre can pull that off like rock can.
Right. I've tried to do elements of that with my stand-up, like big, when I've had big shows that feel like metal shows where it's all standing, you know, where I'm looking in front and it feels like a pit. You know, I've done like a dick joke and then like, let's go, circle pit. Come on. You know,
you don't get a lot of pits in
no.
It seems very much, I think Jim Brewer did put out like a comedy rock record, right? And then obviously you have what do you call it? The Jack Black's thing that he did years ago with Dio. Why is that?
Tenacious
name?
D.
Tenacious, yeah, D. Yeah. You know,
Kinnison.
Yeah. You know, as far as like out, that's out
Kinnison
now.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. Anything that's out right now, it's just really, and obviously Steel Panther, it could make for a hell of a tour. If somehow you're able to get all those elements together, that would be a really fun amalgam of comedy and rock.
Brewer and I have talked about doing something at some point, but he's... His record, we both talked about, well, so mine took 6 years, right? He and I had talked about like possibly touring, but he's way more driven than me. And his record came out like 4 years before mine did. And, you know, so the timing wasn't right there. But yeah, he's a great dude. I've known him forever. That would be a good fit. There's a lot. Steel Panther.
Would be, you know, awesome. You opening for Steel Panther would make a lot of sense.
That would be sick. That would be a lot of fun.
I know those guys since 2001, love everything about those guys. And it's great to see that. I mean, they've become so much bigger than where they started. I saw them in the Viper Room in 2001. And now
I directed one of their first videos. And then I tried to do a show with them with the Jackass guys producing and me writing it for MTV and Comedy Central 10 years ago. Wow. But yeah, I love those dudes and they're super funny and I've been trying to do something with them forever. But
I remember there was going to be a TV show for them where the concept was that they went up to the mountains to write a record and did so much cocaine, they had no idea 25 years passed and they came back down and it was, you know, the new album came out, which
that was me. Yeah.
That's a fucking great idea.
The concept was that they recorded their record in Canada where things don't change. So like they were in a Canadian strip club for 25 years. So they just, it's like being in a time machine. That's, they stepped out of the Canadian strip club and you know, suddenly it's the 2000s.
That's, you know, it's funny.
We shot a pilot and we had like Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul, like playing in it. And, it came out really funny, but yeah.
Is it anywhere to be seen, that pilot?
I don't even think it's on YouTube. I would love
to see that. Did the guys have it? Anybody have it?
I don't even have it.
Shit. Fuck, I would love, 'cause I love those guys so much. You know, it's funny. Not that it's hilarious, but think three times they asked me, which was so cool, to be in one of their videos. And each time something horrible happened in my life. Like right before we go, I had to get throat cancer surgery. My dad died. Like Jesus. Each time, I was like, don't ask me to be in a video anymore because I can't handle it. My life is too fragile.
Sorry, man. I did. I did Death to All But Metal. And then I got Sarah Silverman to be in it too. Played. I did kind of
the teacher.
Yeah, it was a take on Hot for Teacher.
Right, such a great. James, you did the Lean Forward, I Have a Question move again.
Oh, man. But I think it was like 2 minutes ago. I was just going to comment. Because like I grew up metal and punk and I was in bands that were really bad. And so I kind of always wanted to incorporate too. But it's a fine line, right? Because like in metal, what you're talking about, like that ego of Monster Magnet, it's like, fuck me. Like I'm going to bang everyone. In comedy, we got to be like, oh, fuck me. Like my world's crumbling. So that's
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 30 minutes ago, guys. Sorry. Right. Time is I tried. You know, I'm trying to be a good sidekick. What are you going to do? I'm a shitty second banana, everybody.
Maybe you had a better microphone, James. You know what I'm saying?
Is it not doing well? I'm so in my head too. Brian, I had an issue yesterday where I didn't lean into the microphone, and now I'm scared because when I lean in, I'm shaking this goddamn purifier in the room that I'm staying in, and I don't want to be the jinx. I don't want to be the black cloud.
By the way,
the Steel Panther video for Ralph. I'm just trying real hard.
Well, you're clearly a comedian and not a rock star.
There it is.
You are explaining what it's like to be a comedian right now. It's fucking great. I love
it. See? Look, I can, dude,
I can identify. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. It's a goddamn pleasure.
I have those voices too. I'm just so high I can barely hear the voices.
Yeah, I'm high on coffee. You gotta tune them out. Loud.
Tune them out.
By the way, speaking of, because you just brought them up, I saw a video made me laugh. Because knowing that your character is always in any show, whether it was, you know, Big Bang Theory or Sarah Silverman or whatever, all the different shows you've done, you're always the quirky weird guy. And it's funny to hear you say, man, Bob Odenkirk, that's a really weird dude.
Oh, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, just a minute ago?
No. On something else. Yeah, and it's funny to see that you calling someone else weird when you personify weird is funny to me.
Well, I think I'm qualified.
Fair enough. You know what's weird about you making that reference is Brian and Bob Odenkirk were both on Everybody Loves Raymond together.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. We just had Ray Romano on a couple weeks ago.
Two episodes together. Yeah, we're I mean, he's one of my best pals and I hate the word genius. People throw that around about comedy. Like,
I get people say it to me all the time. It makes me so uncomfortable.
But he's the only genius I've ever worked with. When I first moved to LA, one of the first guys to hire me, and I couldn't respect him more. But yeah, he's a weirdo and he knows that.
And you did Mr. Show with him for a while, right?
Yeah, then we did the Netflix with Bob and David. I came back and produced that with them too, and would do anything. I would throw myself in front of a truck for that guy. Like, he's the funniest and the sweetest. And, you know, we've been talking through COVID. COVID's been super weird, but he's doing a John Wick movie next. Like, wow. That's the insane.
He yeah, really, you know, there's a few people that
and he got sense. In shape too. Like he worked out like, and did worked with MMA guys and worked, you know, he's my age. He's actually older than me and worked with guys to be, you know, so it looks like, believable.
That's good. That's amazing. He really, how many comics, I mean, there's a few, I guess, that can go into being qualified as serious actors and pull it off? I don't know too many. Shani, it looks like you're going to smack me in the face. Did I say something that made you want to smack me?
No, I was laughing because James picked up his mic. He's trying a new technique.
Well, now you look like you're going to do crowd work.
I was while I couldn't sleep, and I watched talk radio. I was watching talk radio on Peacock, so now I'm going to start pontificating, walking around and telling people how the fuck it is. People are doing crack and no one loves you. Next with Barry Champlain. Come on.
Let me ask you this. I was thinking about Mr. Show was so great. There is not a lot of sketch comedy anymore. For a while, sketch comedy kind of ruled television. There was like five, whether it was The State or Mad TV or Chappelle Show. There was so many sketch comedy shows. There really isn't anymore, or are they just not popular? I don't know.
There was a resurgence a couple of years ago with Key and Peele and Amy Peele. Schumer being on at the same time. And Human Giant before that. I think it comes in waves. I think a lot of networks don't really respond to the idea of a sketch show. I think you have to just have a good concept. And like, you know, if you're an Amy Schumer and you can hire a bunch of people hers was great. Key and Peele's was great, but
were they on at the same time?
I think they were. I think it's, you kind of have to have a take, or it's like, it's the Amy Schumer. You know what I mean? Like you can't just go, hey, let's just do a sketch show. You can't do that anymore. I think it has to be, this is what it's all about. Like Key and Peele's was pretty race related, like Chappelle's and Amy's was from the female perspective. I think it has to have a take for, you know, a network to respond to, just, you know.
Yeah, it could be. I also think that, and even for SNL these days, you have to be so worried about offending anybody that it's hard to write comedy, because on that level of a big level, because, you know, like, there was a sketch recently on SNL where they were talked about going to Africa. Did you see? I forgot who was in that. Was it Adele? Adele was in it. And they were like fetishizing black men. As like, that's why you would go to Africa. And I'm like, oh my God, they are going to get destroyed tomorrow when this comes. And they actually did exactly what happened the next day. They were shitting on them all over the place. I think it's harder to just write a sketch because there's too much weight on your shoulders, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also that in comedy too, you know, but I kind of don't worry about it.
Well, you know, in my defense, you didn't even say the word gay before.
Well, no, I know. yeah, that's a personal thing, because I don't like using it the way high school kids used it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, and I come from the 80s where we used it a lot, and I try not to do that.
I got
you. So, you know.
I just feel words could have more than one meaning. That's my answer to a lot of things, that I don't look at that term to be derogatory to, you know, gay men. It's just like,
no, it wasn't, because we were kids and we didn't even know what it meant. But
the South Park episode too, where they didn't even realize the association, you know. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Then the next thing that I watched a little bit of is your D&D podcast. Are you still doing the nerd poker podcast?
Yeah, that's been great. We've been doing it like this. We've been doing it Zoom the whole time.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of people I play with that aren't even going to want to go back to the normal. You know, like they're even embracing the COVID thing more than I am. Like the antisocial, my friend Sarah, she's such a hypochondriac. Not Sarah Silverman, but the girl I play with on D&D, Sarah Gazzardo. What she would hate, her Xbox name when we first met 20 years ago was Sicky. Like, she thinks she's sick all the time. So,
but how early did you start that? Like, were you an early podcaster?
Yeah, we were. We were at Earwolf too, one of the, you know, Scott Uckerman's company, one of the first over there. And then we went away for a little while because, I hated going to a studio to do it, because for my show, it made sense to do it at home. And, you know, it was now everybody's doing everything at home, but, before, just playing D&D was what my podcast is. So for that, we used to play at a table in a studio, and that just felt like, this isn't how you do it. Mm-hmm. You know, D&D is a bunch of nerds with a bunch of food that's not good for them. And some are high and some are drinking. And you're sitting around a table, and that's the way it should be played. And that's the way we play at my house and when we record the show, you know.
Do we all feel that James looks like he's in the video of Sabotage for the Beastie Boys right now? Is that what's happening?
Yo, man, you can't stand it. I know you planned it, dog. Brian, I mean, so I check like a lot of the boxes that you do with nerddom, metal, boom, punk, whatever, comic books. I'm a wrestling guy, too. I never did D&D. I'm 42. Is it a blessing I didn't? This dude was supposed to pick me up in high school to teach me, and he never showed up. And the next time I saw him was at my 21st birthday, randomly at the Hard Rock in Vegas. He's like, oh, man, I never picked you up. And I'm like, all right, well, this probably be the better. I just went to a strip club and all that shit, but whatever.
Before you answer, Brian, the guy was also 52 at the time. Yeah.
And still going to Chaparral High School. Remember, Vegas public schools. That's just how shit went, man.
I could go either way. I think you might like it. I don't know. I didn't play it as a kid. I wanted to. My story with it is, in junior high, there was a D&D group at my school, and I was such a misfit that I was too nerdy for D&D. Like, I walked in, and there was a kid that I knew from Christian camp and, you know, our church group, and he did not like me, and I did not like him. And he saw me, I walked in, and he's like, Posehn, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, oh, I guess nothing. And I took my lunch and my dice, and I walked out of the room. Wow. And I didn't play D&D till I was working at Tower Records in the early 90s, right before it was my last day job. I was up in Sonoma, where I grew up, and back there living with my mom again. And I was working at a record store, and this dude was like, "Hey man, I play D&D. You want to play?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So I go to his house, got high with his parents. And then it was just me, him, and this other dude sitting in the room playing Slayer on the floor. And then playing D&D while we listened to Slayer. And that won me over. That was like, now I get it.
It's something I never got into either. But by the way, we're running short on time, Shannon. Yeah, sure. So let's do the first right now.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is, you know, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR Show. We like to ask every guest since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. And we'll start with rock and roll. The first concert you went to, but that we're going to know that you went on your own volition. You know, you weren't dragged by your parents. It wasn't some local band. You said, "I want to go see this band."
Well, they were local, but I wanted to see them, Y&T.
Oh, I love those guys. They're not really local, though. They're kind of
big. They were, for us, they were Northern California, and they were playing the Petaluma Fairgrounds. And I got my mom to let me go with one of her friends that was going just to the fair. Mm-hmm. And then she dropped me in and my buddy off, and we went and saw Y&T in the Tubes.
Back in the day, they performed live in my studios and on my radio show.
Nice.
Singing really cool dudes. I will do drugs. First drug you ever did after pot, unless, because I'm sure pot was the first, but unless pot wasn't your first, the first drug you did after pot.
Pot was the first. Acid and then mushrooms right around the same time.
And was one more speaking to you than the other, or they were half a dozen?
They were both bad for me. X was bad for me too. Like anything where you get too inside your head, like I'm already inside my head all day. And then, so any drug that makes me, you know, I took X and I was at a party where this girl I like was, and I went over to her and she dissed me, and I drove to Reno. I just got in a car, left a party, and drove seriously 3 hours, 4 hours, and then realized where I was. Yeah.
Were you crying the whole
bad
time?
Idea.
That's how I see it.
Kind of. Yeah, listening to a lot of Morrissey.
And it was the third last one would be sex. I imagine, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, metal, comic books, it was raining pussy for you. So when did you first have sex?
Not until I got on stage, my friend.
No, really? How old were you?
21.
Wow, that's fucking great. Reason to get into comedy right there.
Yeah. Total late bloomer. But I also had like high standards. I was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Like I was a nerd, but like, you know, there were other nerdy girls around. And I'm like, nah.
So you were on stage and a girl approached you, like a groupie kind of thing?
Yeah. I took a girl home from a club, was my first time. And then I acted like I knew what I was doing. It was very clear to her, I'm sure.
So you didn't have to discuss with her.
And going back to Guns N' Roses, the Guns N' Roses first record was playing. No lie.
That's fucking hilarious. That's a nice full...
Wraps it all up.
Okay, so now the new album is out now, Grandpa Metal. As we said, also the you're doing the podcast. You probably are going on tour in some capacity, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, I did one of these. I did a Zoom show, and I might do another one of those because already I thought I was going to be back in January, but my January is moving, you know, now to the summer. So who knows? Who knows when I'll be back? It's such a weird thing.
Anything else you want to plug while we're doing
it? Oh, yeah. Grandpa Metal, obviously, the record. Have a video coming out next month for New Music Sucks. The kind of the song on the record that's not truly metal, but well, the end of it is. But and then my show, Grandpa's Metal Stash, on Gimme Metal every Tuesday.
I'm going to give you one little dig. You ready?
Yeah.
On Spotify, Posehn is the name of the album, so it doesn't show up when you search Brian Posehn.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you need to fix that.
Good to know. Well, yeah. Well, that was the whole thing, because it was, I'm trying to be Van Halen.
I know, I get it. But
it's the last name.
There's got to be a way to tag it so it shows up in Brian Posehn.
Yeah, instead it's more like Mark Slaughter.
All right, you know what? Because James does a better job, Shannon, you plug your show first.
Listen to my show, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982.
Okay, now, James, let's hear about what you got to plug.
I will. What a switcheroo, Ralph. One quick aside. Yo, Mark Slaughter, I think, used to fuck my aunt. He's a Chaparral High School guy. Is this the greatest thing ever?
He is from Vegas. Holy shit, he's from Vegas.
Come on.
Wow. It all comes around.
He also does a lot of Disney character voices. He did a lot of, made money doing cartoon voices.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, James, let's hear it.
Hood School, baby. The Hood School. We're the best. All right. Yo, man, The James Madden on the Instagrams, YouTubes. I'm adding more videos. If this comes out in November, I'll be emceeing at Soul Joe's Comedy Lounge outside, freezing my ass off, doing what we do. Also, you got to check out the Commissioner, a comedy podcast. It's a comedy lifestyle, comedy journey. It is here for passion. Do you got any passion? You will hear me talking about passion. You'll run through fucking walls, man. I guarantee you. This is what it's about. Commissioner, a comedy podcast. Yeah, baby. Shannon, you're still the best, baby. You should still go after me.
If I listen and I don't run through walls, do you give me my money back?
No, baby. Well, it's free, but I'll record a new episode just for you. You'll be the first Patreon just to win you over, Ralph.
By the way, remember when I said if you move that mic too much, it starts to sound like shit? Guess what's happening?
Oh, shit, man. I can't win for nothing. Can I just email when I go in again? I don't even know. I'm trying so hard to be the shepherd, Ringo. I'm trying real fucking hard.
Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other show, the Good Sugar Podcast, with the founder of Juice Press. And we end the show every week with a song. We add it to our playlist. We'll do the title track from Grandpa Metal. Why not, right? We'll do it right now. We'll play that.
That's anyway. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Very good.
Way too hot in the mic.
Hit the mic a little more so that it makes
too hot in the mic.
Oh, man. Ryan,
thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure to have you on. And, thanks for being a part of this.